This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, exclusively on the Bun 2.0, KBUN-FM 104.5.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is sponsored by DS Beverages, Paul Bunyan Country's distributor of Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser, by Northern Surplus Northern Outdoors in downtown Bemidji, Bond and Lock and Key, your home for Liberty Gun Safes, and Pine Ridge Service. Well, today on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, we talked with Craig Engwall. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Craig, we've been talking deer quite a bit over the course of the winter and the last couple of years as we've revealed or implemented a new plan on the DNR level. And, of course, we've been watching chronic wasting disease, and we got more bad news this fall or this winter about that. What's the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association's thoughts regarding CWD in general and the discovery of the crow-wing deer?
Well, CWD has been, it's been around actually since the late 60s, but it's really come to attention since about 2002 when Wisconsin had the first significant finding of CWD in the Midwest, and it spread in Wisconsin significantly. And one of the things that we want to do here is try to avoid what's happened there. There have been, in southeast Minnesota now, we have 40 to 50 positive deer with CWD. We had the crow-wing deer that you mentioned, but the key that we think is to go after it aggressively, which Wisconsin didn't do, and they're paying the price for that now. So we support DNR's efforts to really aggressively try to attack CWD on the ground.
For those who maybe are not aware, what has happened in Wisconsin?
Well, they took a pretty passive approach, so they did not cull a lot of the deer in the area. So, and again, with CWD, it's a combination. They're game farms, or captive servids is what they call them, farms that have had the disease, and then there's disease that spread to the wild herd. And there's a lot of controversy about farms and where does this disease come from. It's now in both, but there is a big concern about those captive operations, and there's still in Wisconsin 9 operations that have been CWD positive that are operating, and the concern from those of us who are trying to protect the wild deer is what those farms are doing in terms of spreading the disease. So just to illustrate, Wisconsin has 72 counties, and now they are deemed to have 55 CWD-affected counties, meaning there's been a CWD case within 10 miles of that county at least.
Wow.
And we don't want to do that because we don't want people to be discouraged from hunting, and we want the deer herd to thrive and be healthy.
Are we seeing any actual physical or numbers effects in Wisconsin at this point?
We will. I tell you, a striking number is in the core area, and that's kind of near Madison, and it's in Dane and Iowa County in Wisconsin. But in that core area, now they've done studies, and of the 4.5-year-old male bucks harvested last fall, 50% of them have CWD. And of the year-and-a-half-year-olds, even 20% have CWD, and those are striking numbers, and that's what we absolutely want to try to avoid here. So if you get that high prevalence, you really do put the herd at threat, and you also threaten hunters wanting to participate. And that's one of the things that we're pushing for, too, is funding to develop a quick field test so that people can have confidence in the deer they harvest.
Right. Do we know, like, how many years on average a deer loses in life because of CWD?
That's hard to measure it that way, but they die at a much higher prevalence and more quickly. So the disease can be, they can live with the disease for a couple of years, and that's a bad thing, actually, because they are shedding those prions, which are the proteins that carry that really are the infectious agent. And so a deer can look completely healthy and have CWD and be spreading it, but it will take a couple years before they get disoriented and skinny and just waste away. But they have done studies where a deer with CWD is 75% more likely to die within a year than a healthy deer without it. So
okay.
it weakens them, so they might die from some other cause. So it's bad all the way around, no doubt about it.
So a winter with a lot of snow like this one, where the deer probably expends a lot more energy than normal, might be an issue.
Well, it will. A deer with CWD will die, I guess you'd say, quicker.
Yeah.
But you just don't want any CWD positive deer on the landscape,
right,
because then they're spreading the disease. So, yeah, and that's why states are going after deer where they know it exists aggressively to try to reduce the amount of spread of the prion.
Do we have anything on paper yet from the DNR on what their plan is going to be here?
They do have a plan, and I encourage, and actually they just revised their CWD response plan, and that is on their website, and it's at mndnr.gov, and I think it's /CWD. You can find it pretty easily. But they updated that just in the last, they released it about a week ago, and it talks about the measures they take under different scenarios. One is when you have one deer like crow wing now, and that is to go after it aggressively and try to monitor and see what's there. But then there are other scenarios laid out if you cannot contain it, or if it's an endemic area, how they would respond. So it's really good information. I'd encourage people to look at that. It's too hard to describe it all in a short interview, but they do have that plan out there.
Well, in the at this point, last time I talked with, I think, Lou at the DNR, there is no evidence that CWD has an effect on humans. So those who might be concerned about that, we don't have any evidence of that to this point.
That's correct. And but the health advisories, both in Canada and here in the U.S., they recommend that people not eat CWD-positive meat. And that's why I think developing a quick test is important. There are studies going on now with monkeys and different things to test to see if this could jump to humans, but to date nothing has, there's been no evidence of it jumping. But I mean, I'll be straight, I would not eat a deer that was CWD positive, and if I were hunting in an area that has a lot of CWD prevalence like Wisconsin, I would certainly test my deer, and that's available. People can test their deer now.
So what in particular is the MDHA going to do in regards to the CWD?
Well, we issued a press release, and then we've been at the Capitol having some key position points, and many of these deal with the captive cervid farming industry as well. First of all, we support DNR being aggressive in their approach when CWD arises on the landscape, and two, we support the governor's funding request for over $4.5 million to help fight CWD. Then on the regulatory side, we do believe that the captive cervid farms should be double fenced. That's not a requirement now. We do believe that they should have to depopulate their herd if they have a positive, which is not the case now. They only need to quarantine. We believe there should be a moratorium on new farms and the potential for a voluntary buyout of existing farms, because we do think they threaten the wild deer herd.
Okay. What is it about those types of operations concerns you about what they do to the wild deer?
Well, it's just the history has shown they're a very significant source of CWD. So, and if CWD can be spread from muzzle to muzzle contact, and if you have an operation that's positive and they're wild deer that can brush up against the captive deer or the escapes, there in some years are more than 100 escapes from the farms, it's spreading that disease. And I want to be clear, not all farms, we're not saying all farms have disease, and there are many good operators, but because farms get tested whenever they have an animal die or they butcher an animal, process an animal, we know when it's there. And so in Minnesota, there have been farms in 8 different counties that have CWD. And so they are clearly a vector of the disease.
More of The Great Outdoors with Kev Jackson next on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, sponsored by Pine Ridge Service, DS Beverages, Bonded Lock and Key, and Northern Surplus Northern Outdoors. Check us out at KBUNSportsRadio.com. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can subscribe to the podcast on Podcast One and iTunes. My guest today is Craig Engwall. He's the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Let's talk a little bit more broadly about the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. First of all, let's look at the history. How long has it been around?
Started in 1980, and we still are a grassroots organization. We're based in Grand Rapids. We have about 20,000 members and 60 chapters across the state, and we really focus on three main core things. One is habitat protection. We've either raised or partnered on projects in our history of over $43 million in habitat. We have our youth education component, which is our Four Corn camps, where kids from 11 to 17 can go to week-long camps, and we typically have nearly 1,000 kids who go through that every year. And then we work on policy issues and advocating for deer and deer hunters, just like we're talking about the CWD matter. We're at the Capitol, or we might be in D.C. I've gone out to Washington a couple times to work on the wolf delisting issue. We view ourselves as the voice of the hunter, and we're doing good work on the ground as well.
Beyond CWD right now, what are some of the things the MDHA is working on?
I'd say it's our habitat projects. There's in terms of policy issues, there's not a lot of other issues that are really burning now. 2 years ago, the DNR wanted to raise the deer license fee from $30 to $34, and we conditioned our support on that they shift more money to the deer management account, which they've agreed to do, and so that hopefully will be signed into law after this session. That's one of the policy issues. But on the habitat issues, we're active with projects with Lassard Sam's Council. We have one of the projects that we're very proud of is our Jack Pine Forest project, where we acquired about 2,200 acres of potlatch forest land that was being converted into potato fields in Hubbard and Cass County. So we went out and got the grant, we acquired the land, and then we turned it over to the county land departments to manage in their forestry programs. And those lands are now open to the public for hunting and other recreation, and they're protected, and they're protecting water resources too. So we do a lot of cool stuff like that. And then probably what a lot of people are familiar with MDHA is our Hides for Habitat program, because they very well may drop their hides off in one of our orange boxes that are all across the state at gas stations and various places. In that program alone, so it's totally voluntary, it's hunters dropping off their hides, we've received over 900,000 hides and raised almost $5.5 million just from hunters donating hides, and we turn that right into habitat on the ground here in Minnesota.
Wow. That's pretty. That's a lot of hides.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work. I mean, you think the volunteers who sort them and salt them and do different things, and then what happens is we sell them to hide buyers, and that's how we make the money to put into habitat.
Tell me a little bit more about your youth camps and how a youth can get involved with those.
Well, the youth camps are three different levels: Four Corn 1, 2, and 3. They're week long, and they have a curriculum based on the age of the participant, but you can get your hunter certificates. You learn about archery, you learn about biology, you learn about camping, outdoor activities, just a whole gamut of things. And I'd say one of the best ways for people to learn more about that would be to look on our website at mndeerhunters.com, and there is information on our education program, or they can just call us here in the office at 1-800-450 deer. and we can get information about it. But it's just a great opportunity for kids to learn basic outdoor facts and or just how to camp and do different things and lots of skills.
Where are these camps at?
There's seven around Minnesota. For example, there's Laurentian up in the Arrowhead and Long Lake in Aiken County. But there's seven of them kind of geographically spread around the state.
Okay. Let's talk about youth for a little bit. I know one of the big concerns, and I talked to DNR folks quite a bit and some national folks too, a lot of concern about numbers going down in fishing and in hunting. And I know we're seeing that in Minnesota as well. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely, it's a concern for many reasons. One, I mean, of course, it's a great tradition, and we want people outdoors. But there's a real practical side to it, too, is that people don't realize that the DNR Fish and Wildlife Division is funded basically completely by hunter and angler fees. And as you reduce that, there's less work that they can do. And if we lose hunters and anglers, we're losing our influence in the legislature, too. So we need those folks who are in St. Paul and in Washington to know what we're about and the importance of hunting and angling. I mean, our dollars are doing so much on the ground for wildlife, and there's so many benefits to non-game wildlife and other things that people don't realize, and that's by the contribution of hunters and anglers. So it's a difficult time. We need to try to do anything we can. And there's a program called R3, which stands for Recruitment, Retention, and Reactivation, just to try to get people engaged. But we are, right now, it's an aging group, and we have to figure out a way to reach out to younger people. And that can be archery in the schools. We have to look at the success of trap shooting, what they're doing, and see if we can tie that into broader interests such as hunting or organizations like ours. So we're, for instance, a platinum sponsor at the state high school trap shoot meet, where they have thousands of participants and tens of thousands of visitors.
You know, one of the things where I'm seeing growth that I think is real exciting is with women in hunting. That seems to be one area where there has been some real trackable growth.
Absolutely, and that's statistically shown. It's the one area that is growing, and we think it's wonderful. We're doing what we can to foster that. We have, in fact, some of our mentors who do mentored hunts are women who are going out and mentoring other female hunters, and we've had great success with that. But we're always looking for more mentors who want to teach young. Well, it's not just young men and women, but you have adults now who are interested in taking it up for the first time, and they might be in their 30s because they want, it can be because they want natural food or whatever the motivation might be, but we need mentors to help people have the opportunity to hunt, because really, if you think about it, if you're in your 20s or 30s and you have no experience in it, it's not very easy to break in. So we've got to do things to make it a better opportunity for those people to have, to be out in the field.
Absolutely. So we've talked about CWD, we've talked about hunting numbers. Anything else out there that concerns you and the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association at this point?
I think it's just people being active. I mean, everybody seems so busy now, and take time and enjoy the outdoors. And that's, you know, for many of us, I certainly don't get a deer every year, but that time I spend in the woods is very precious time. And I think getting our kids outdoors is one of the best things we can do, because it's a real issue with all the turmoil in the world and all the smartphones and everything, just to take the time to get out and enjoy nature. And really want to focus on getting more younger people involved and getting them to enjoy this tradition that my grandpa and dad passed down to me, and that's the way many of the deer camps around here are. It's a wonderful family tradition, and we want to keep it going.
I do a lot of fishing interviews, and you know, every now and then we do a kind of a year-end, the health of the fishery, and let me throw that one out to you. It's not a fishery, but the health of the habitat, the health of the deer numbers in the state, minus our CWDD concerns overall, what's your view on where deer hunting is in Minnesota?
I'd say it's fairly good, and it's, you know, Minnesota's so unique in that we're kind of like four or five different states almost. And then I'd say it depends on where you are and the state of the deer herd. For instance, I live in far northern Itasca County, and we're still trying to bounce back from those two difficult winters in 13-14, where the numbers aren't as high as they were before those difficult winters. But in central Minnesota, there's some areas where there are, I hate to say too many deer, but that they're flourishing. And so habitat is always an issue when you look in the southwest where it's primarily row crop agriculture. There are not a lot of places for deer, so you always can improve. But I would say deer are doing fairly well. We just have to keep doing what we can to help them.
Okay. If somebody wants to get involved with the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, how do they do that?
I would say either check our website at mndeerhunters.com or call us at 800-450-DEER. And if they're in Grand Rapids, they can stop by our office. We're just north of town. Reaching out to us, or Facebook is, we're on social media as well. So look us up, call us. We got lots of great things going on, and it's a great way to help deer and natural resources in Minnesota by joining us.
We've talked about a number of things, but anything new that you guys might be unrolling or unveiling in the next year or two?
I don't know if I'd say new. One of the things we've done in this past year that's exciting for us and for Chevy Trucks is that they've become an official sponsor of ours, so we have a raffle for Silverado, and with that infusion of enthusiasm and money, it lets us do our mission and get our word out more, too. So working on partnerships to grow the organization is a key thing that we're looking at, and just how we can get our message out that by joining the Deer Hunters, you're helping not only habitat, but you're helping the voice of deer and deer hunters in Minnesota. Yeah. And all our money stays here is one key thing that I would say. We love our partner other organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, et cetera, but they're national, and here you've got an organization in Minnesota where the money that we raise stays all right here.
Before I wrap it up, one other question that came to my head here just a second ago. There's different takes from different people. Some people want to be able to go out in the woods and get the trophy 30-point buck, the legendary 30-point buck. Other people just want good, healthy deer with a lot of numbers so they have more of an opportunity to catch and harvest a deer because they like venison. Does the Deer Hunters Association fall down anyway with either of those positions?
I think what you're referring to a bit is antler point restrictions in some of the in southeast Minnesota. They've had a restriction that a buck has to have 4 points on a side to be harvested. Our position on that was that it's fine if people want to voluntarily do that on their own, but we don't support mandatory APR. But that's even come into question with CWD, as mature bucks are a bigger carrier of CWD. So in the areas down there, that restriction has been lifted. But a healthy deer herd is one that has multiple age classes. And so we, you know, if people on their own land want to manage a certain way, that's fine. But we are not proponents of antler point restrictions in law.
Okay. Very good. Craig Engwall is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, joining us to talk about all things deer in the state of Minnesota. Craig, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks for the insight.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
This has been Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Hear it exclusively on KBUN-FM 104.5, Thursdays at 12:40 and Saturday mornings at 8.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic. in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.